my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Now say, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, call with me. I'll be there in a little while, but you can go ahead and put your finger on Joshua, the first chapter, and the 8th verse. And so we're talking from the subject of being bigger on the inside. Last week, we used Job, and we used the prodigal son, and I gave you some steps to the maturity process. Y'all remember that? And so today, I wanted to go a little bit further into it. I started thinking about what are some of the ways for you to be bigger on the inside, and what are some of the things, you know, that we need to do to be bigger on the inside that will really produce long-term success in your life. Everybody say long-term success. And really, that's the will of God. Not that I'm just, you know, doing good right now, but if you see me in 20 years, I'm still doing good. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's the will of God for your life. You can be a shooting star that is only visible for a moment, or you can be a lasting star that's visible for a lifetime. You got it? The difference between the two types of stars are the way that they are made. And so to see long-term success, we must submit to the making process, the making process. And some people have a hard time, you know, with the making process because, you know, number one, we don't like nobody to tell us what to do. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, and that means you have to do things like make change and be accountable and be consistent and those kind of things. And so I want to talk to you about that. Joshua, the first chapter and the 8th verse, of course, we know Moses is gone and Joshua now is getting instructions from the Lord. And he tells him something very important as it relates to him making sure that he sticks with the word. Regardless of anything that goes on in your life, you have to learn how to stick with the word. So the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." He says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So do you realize that he told him that, you know, when you stick with the word, you are going to make your way prosperous and you are going to have good success. And people say, well, why, you know, isn't God going to do it? God has already laid out everything. He's given you his word. He's done everything he needs to do. But what, not only does he need our permission, but he needs our participation to usher his will into our lives. So how many know there's some things you have to do if you want to see the word come to pass in your life? Does that make sense? And so, and as we're talking about long-term success, and I kind of look at where I am compared to where I was, you know, I see that along the way I made some mistakes, and mistakes in life are inevitable, but the frequency of the mistake rate is preventable. All right? Let me say it again. In life, mistakes are inevitable, but the frequency rate is preventable. So I don't really mind making a mistake, you know, but the problem is if I keep making the same mistake over and over and over. See, if I make a mistake and I learn from the mistake, then I overcome the mistake and the mistake doesn't overcome me. Does that make sense? The whole thing about revelation is that when I know better, I will do better. And that is the key, that as I begin to stick with the word and learn the word, and the Holy Spirit begins to lead me and to guide me, and I'm making sure that his voice is the loudest voice in my life, yes, I will make some mistakes, but I will prevent myself from the frequency of making the same mistake over and over and over. See, in life, we're not going to be flawless, but the goal is always to give God your very best every day. That's the bottom line. And so, let's talk about, I'm going to give you three things, as it relates to what is necessary to minimize mistakes and see long-term success. Because, you know, I don't want to just be successful for 6 months. I don't want to be successful just for 6 years. I want to walk in a state of success because God wants me to be successful. He came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. You got it? So he wants me to live a good life, but the choice is mine. It's up to me. See, I am where I am right now because of the choices that I made in the past. So if I don't like where I'm at, I don't have to beat myself up. I don't need to start crying over spilled milk. I just have to start making better choices. And to the degree I start making better choices, it'll put me in a better place. Most people don't understand that that principle is the same across the board. If you're not where you want to be as it relates to finances and your money, if you start looking at it, you start seeing, I get paid, I go to the mall. You got it? I get paid, I go to the mall, then I pay my bills, and then I don't have enough for my bills, and I sure don't have enough for tithing because I'm doing it the wrong way. And so watch this, though. If I start making better choices, it'll put me in a better place. And the first better choice is stop going to the mall as soon as you get paid. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's look at what's necessary to minimize mistakes and see. But that's what I'm saying. You know, and yeah, I have to add humor because, you know, we don't like folk to tell us what to do because that's my money. You got, I worked hard for that money on that job with all them demons. You understand what I'm saying? You know how people be talking, right? And so we don't want nobody to tell us what to do with our money. And I get it, but it's not pastor telling you what to do. The Word of God actually teaches us how to handle every area of our lives. That's even, you know, when it comes to relationships, when it comes, you know, to marriage, there's a certain way, there's certain things that I should do, and there's certain things that I should not do. And in marriage, if I continue to do the things that I should not do, how many know it's not going to go in the right direction, but it's going to go in the wrong direction? Does that make sense? All right. So what is necessary to minimize mistakes and see long-term success? Number one, everybody say number one. A righteous resolve. A righteous resolve. I must have a righteous resolve. This one is easy. It is just a conviction that I'm going to do it God's way. That is, at the end of the day, God told Joshua, stick to the word. In other words, do it my way. I've got to have a conviction that I'm going to do it God's way. If you're sitting in the room and you say, I have not been doing it God's way, don't beat yourself up. Don't start crying over spilled milk. From this moment, make it up in your mind. From this moment, I'm going to start doing it God's way. And if I do it God's way, what's going to happen? I'm going to get God results, right? All right. So number one is righteous resolve. Everybody say number two. Number two is right relationships. Right relationships, being around the right people is critical for your development and success in life. Birds of a feather do what? That's right. Birds of a feather flock together. You become like who you spend time with. You got it. I teach my kids that. You know, I have good kids. Praise the Lord. Thank God for good kids. But I want them to hang around good kids. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and because what happens is if you hang around the wrong crowd and they get caught doing the wrong thing, even though you might not have been doing it, they put you all in the same boat. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. All right. And so, you live or you die by the choices that you make and the words that you speak and the company that you keep. I've always said that. You live or you die by the choices that you make, by the words that you speak, by the company that you keep. We understand the choices that we make. We just said it. We understand the words that we speak because death and life is in the power of the tongue. I got to make sure that I'm saying the right thing, but also by the company that you keep. And so you have to learn to flock to people that put God first in their lives, and it's evident. You got it? Like, you know, if you're hanging around somebody and say, oh, who's that? You got it? And you say, oh, that's my friend. Yeah, he's saved. And I got to look and wonder if he's saved. Okay, anyways, never mind. All right, we're going to just move right on. And so hang around people that you can see the favor of God on their lives. Doesn't that make sense? Now, hang around people that are going somewhere. Like you know, the whole A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If I'm at D, I'm trying to get to E. So I don't need to back up and hang around somebody that's at A, you understand? And I'm following them. Now, it's different if they're at A and they're trying to follow me because they're trying to go somewhere. That's okay. That's just called mentorship. You got it? But I need to hang around somebody that's going somewhere. You know, why hang around turkeys when you can fly with the eagles? Right? Now, I'm trying to go somewhere. I'm trying to live a good life. You understand what I'm saying? I want to see God do some amazing things in my life, in my marriage, in my finances, with my friends. You got it? In this church. You got it? So I made a commitment that I'm going to hang around people, you know, that are going somewhere. This week, matter of fact, after this service, I'm heading out. I'm going to a pastor's conference this week. The pastor's conference I'm going to is a serious pastor's conference. The most of these guys in the room are doing super mega stuff. So when I walk in the room, I'm excited because I know that not only am I going to learn from the speakers that are up there, but depending on who I'm sitting next to, you know, people start talking, you start brainstorming, and then, you know, that's how when pastors that really love God and really love their church, when they get around each other, they start talking about their church, and they start talking about, man, we're doing this in the community, we're doing that, and so now, you know, I'm praying, Father, when I go, connect me with the right people that can give me the right information so I can come back and continue to make a difference. You got it. And so, you know, but I can't be like, oh, man, well, look, you know, we done built the buildings and people are coming, so we just stop. No, if you want long-term success, you got to keep growing. You got to keep moving, but you got to make sure you stay with the right company. Does that make sense? All right. So we said number one was right resolve, righteous resolve. We said number two was right relationships. And then number three is reevaluations. Reevaluations. You must periodically look at where you are and ask yourself tough questions. Tough questions like, am I where I need to be spiritually? Am I where I need to be physically? Am I where I need to be emotionally? You got it? And you must also be willing to be accountable to someone else and allow them to help you through the learning process. Because everybody needs somebody that will help them and push them. You got it? See, if you, I heard a preacher say a long time ago that if you're the biggest fish in the tank, then your tank is too small. Does that make sense? No. You need to be in a tank where there's some really big fish and some really small fish. The really small fish is for you to help them along the way, and the really big fish is for them to help you along the way. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so I've got to reevaluate myself, and I've got to make sure that I am where I need to be. I am where I need to be. That's something that's real big with me. I'm a kind of guy that I want to make sure that I'm doing right. That's very important to me. I'm not perfect. I do make mistakes. You understand what I'm saying? But my heart is that I always want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be the best father I can be. You know, I don't want my kids to grow up, you know, and say, well, Dad never spent time with me. That's never going to happen. You got it? I want to be the best pastor I can be. I want to be the best teacher I can be. I want to be the very best I can be. Not the very best trying to size myself up to somebody else, but just I know that there's a greater potential on the inside of me, so I'm trying to be the best I can be. You got it? Quit putting up with good when great is available. And if we're not careful, we miss great for good. Because this is good, this is okay. Yeah, but greater's always out there. Does that make sense? All right, so what's necessary to minimize mistakes and see long-term success? Let's see if the class has been learning. What's number one, class? Righteous resolve. That's good. What's number two? Right relationships. All right, what's number three? Reevaluations. Okay, now, what are some of the things that will hinder me from long-term success? So from long-term success. And so let's talk about these for the next few minutes. I think they're going to be a blessing to you. Number one, this is one of the biggest things with me as it relates to things that will hinder you from long-term success. Number one is lack of integrity. Lack of integrity. A shady person never produces light. What did I say? A shady person never produces light, right? And you can tell a shady person, right? Like, you can see a shady person a mile away. Okay, and so, it's important to have integrity, and it's important to do it God's way. God honors integrity, and to the degree that I have a heart of integrity, God will bless me. When I talk about integrity from a spiritual standpoint of view, integrity is an unconditional commitment to godly principles without wavering even under pressure. That is what, from a spiritual standpoint of view, that is what integrity is. We understand, you know, integrity, we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. That's right. But when you look at this definition, it is an unconditional commitment to godly principles or to his word. We're going right back to what God said in the beginning to Joshua. Stick with the word. You got it? And so it's an unconditional commitment to godly principles without wavering, even under pressure, because how many know pressure will show up? You got it? You're doing your taxes. You got it? Now they have, when you do your taxes online, that little thing up top that tells you, I don't know exactly how it works, but this is like a bar. You got it? And you're, how does it work? It goes up. Can it come down? Right, okay. And so, you know, you're doing them and everything's good and it's looking good. You're like, oh, I forgot to put this 1099, and you went in and it went down. And you say, well, if I take that 1099 out, it goes up. If you put it in, it goes down. Nobody's going to know. No, integrity is that I do the right thing because it is the right thing to do. Is that how it works? Yeah, that's how it works. All right. Proverbs 10:9 says, he that walketh upright walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. What does that mean? That your sins will find you out. Now, I do believe that God gives us a space of grace. If we're going through something that we shouldn't be doing, I believe that God is a merciful God. He is a loving God. God will do everything he can to cover you. But what happens is, you know, he's going to let you know. You got it. Okay. You got to get it together. You don't get it together. He'll tell you, okay, you got to get it together because we serve a very loving God. You got it. But how many of you just can't keep doing what you want to do and it work out long term? Well, y'all didn't give me a good amen. Act like that didn't happen. How many know you can't do what you want to do and expect it to work out long term? Amen. Amen. All right. Proverbs 11:3 in the NIV says, the integrity of the upright guides them. So it is my integrity that is going to guide me, help me to make the right decision and do the right thing. He says, but the unfaithful, the what? What does unfaithful mean? Unfaithful. They are destroyed by their duplicity. What is duplicity? Deceit, dishonesty, double dealing. You know anybody that's a double dealer? You know. And so you have to ask yourself the question, am I an honest person? Like right now, don't answer out loud. But just ask yourself the question, no, seriously, am I an honest person? There was a pastor who was telling a story, and he said that he was going through what are called freedom classes, and this is when he first got saved. And he'll tell you, I was just a mess when I first got saved. Like, I wasn't living right, I wasn't doing right. Like, you know, just, you know, he was just doing everything that he could do wrong, he was doing wrong, right? And then he decided to give his life to Christ. Things started getting better. They wanted him to go through, you know, the freedom classes. And so when they asked the freedom classes, you know, it basically asked, are you a liar? So it's not like you can say sometimes. It was just like yes or no, right? You know, and so but he said it just didn't ask, are you a liar? It says, are you a liar? And then behind it says, be honest. So you have to ask yourself the hard questions. Am I an honest person? Like, am I an honest person? When I gauge that for my life, these are the three things I gauge it based on. And number one, am I honest with myself? You got it. Number one, you know, am I honest with myself? Number two, am I honest with, there's not a category to these, like 1, 2, 3, just so you know. Am I honest with myself? And then number two, am I honest with others, especially my spouse? You got it. Am I honest with my spouse? Or is my spouse always catching me in lies? You got it. You know, or why are y'all looking at me like that? Should I just stay right there for a minute? No, I'm just saying, like, I have to live my life as an open book because that's the easiest way to live my life. And so it's so easy for me to be honest with her because I'm always honest with her. The problem is if I started turning that thing around because I don't know how to be dishonest. Does that make sense? No, she's like, you really don't. No, I don't. I don't know how to lie. I really don't. Like, I'm going to start laughing like Hannah's laughing. You know, and my kids have picked that up. If I say, you know, what did you do? They're like, they lying. You know what I'm saying? But they got it honest. They got it from their daddy, you know. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing to have. So, like, you know, so I'm just always honest because if I don't, I'm going to start giggling, and then you know I'm lying. You understand what I'm saying? So sometimes I think God puts things in place in our lives to kind of help us. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, that's like I told you the story when I was in the Marine Corps, and, you know, I lived a very, lived a very sheltered life, and you know, and so I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of interaction with going to parties and, you know,
just women hanging around and, you know, all kind of crazy things. You understand what I'm saying? So a few different, I don't have time to get into the story, but a few different, you know, things happen, you know, and, you know, how you say this, just few different things happen. And, you know, but I have this defense mechanism in me that, you know, like if girls would come around and they started wanting to touch me or do something that I knew I shouldn't be doing because I ain't married, you know, for some reason I would just kind of start shaking like this. I really would. And it was embarrassing because that's embarrassing. You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to tighten myself up so I'm not shaking. I remember one time this girl just asked me, you know, what, you know, like, you know, and I'm a man, you understand what I'm saying? I got a couple kids, you understand? But I'm just saying back in that day, it was just funny. It was just like, I don't know if I was just nervous or just what it was. And so, you know, a girl asked me to take her down to the PX. I thought she just wanted me to take her to the PX. She said, can you take me to the PX? The PX is the store, just in case, you know. Yeah, and so, you know, I took her, you know, she had other plans besides going to the PX. So when she touched my arm when she's in the car, my arm started shaking. I was like, stop. She thought I was crazy. She wanted me to take her back to the barracks immediately, all right? Am I honest with myself? Am I honest with others, especially my spouse? You got it? And then the last one is, am I honest with God? And it's amazing to me how people won't be honest with God, not realizing that he's there everywhere and sees everything. Does that make sense? So the best thing to do is go to God. Watch this now, with a contrite heart. You got it. And say, God, I need your help in this area. Does that make sense? All right. So what was number one, class? Lack of integrity. Lack of integrity. All right. Y'all writing that down? All right. I did forget to say, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. All right. So number one is what, class? Lack of integrity. All right. Number two, these are the things that will keep you from long-term success. Number two is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. All right? If you are your own compass, you're bound to get lost. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and 15, the way of a fool is right where? In his own eyes. But he hearkeneth unto, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And so, you know, nobody's always right. And the writer says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know, none of us in this room, including me, are right all the time. And the biggest thing is when you thought you were right and you realize you were wrong, just immediately just, you know, fess up. Oh, that's my bad. You got it. Instead of trying to come out, what I was trying to explain. No, you was just wrong. And how many know it's okay to be wrong? Yeah. How many know it's okay to lose a fight in marriage? Oh, no, I got three amens. No, and when I say fight, you understand what I'm saying. You got it. Y'all understand what I'm saying. You know, and so I'm saying, I'm like, no, babe, I said on Tuesday. She's like, no, you told me Wednesday at 3. No, I'm positive I told you, you know, Tuesday, you know, at 3. Babe, you told me Wednesday. Okay, but I'm just letting you know I told you Tuesday. And then she sends me a screenshot of me texting her, telling her Tuesday. You understand what I'm saying? So now what am I going to do? You got it? Am I going to still try to be right in my own eyes? Because the Bible says that's what a fool does. A fool will respond. You got it? You know, you may up that text. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Bible says a fool would do. All right. Okay. So, you know, it's okay to lose a fight. And it's okay to lose a fight if there was no proof, so we don't keep going back and forth, round and round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. Like at the end of the day, does it really matter? And somebody's just got to take the high road. See, I'm not really sure if you take the high road or the low road because, you know, but anyways, you know, because some people told me you should take the high road. I said, if you take the low road, it's humility, but I'm not really sure. Anyways, but I always say, you know, I take the low road, which is the road of humility, that says, okay, it's all good. I'm okay to even take this one for the team and say I'm wrong, even if I'm not really sure I'm wrong, because more is at stake than this moment right here. Does that make sense? And you got to be like that in marriage, on your job, with your friends, if you're going to have long-lasting relationships. You got nowadays, people fall out over the littlest stuff. They fall out over TV shows. I told you she was going to die. Okay, well, you ain't got to be all, you know. And I'm just wondering, because they on Facebook with all that, I'm just wondering who died. All right. So these are things that will hinder you from long-term success. What is number one, class? Lack of integrity. What's number two? Self-centeredness. Number three is excuses. An excuse is an exemption from responsibility and a crutch from the uncommitted. Being those of us who walk by faith, we don't make excuses, we make it happen. Bottom line, we don't make excuses, we make it happen. That's right. So we get the job done because we live by faith, we've got the word, we know what it is. All right, come on with a strong voice. What's number one? Lack of integrity. Y'all need to help them quicker back there because I think they're waiting on your screens. All right. Number two, self-centeredness. All right. Number three, excuses. What's number four, class? Comparison. When you compare yourself to someone, somebody always loses. You got it. And too many times we make unhealthy comparisons, not understanding that we are all unique and have different purposes in life. You got it, all right? Brother in the back with the sunglasses, can I use you for an example? Yeah, come here real quick, all right? Now, if we were to play football, oh, man, he's bigger than I thought. All right, come up on stage, all right? Have you ever played football? You ever play football? Long time ago, okay, all right. So I just got a question, all right? I just have a question, right? If you are a captain for the football team, and you got to pick out of me or brother man right here. And let's say you need a center. Who you going with? Why y'all comparing me? I might be stronger than I look. That's messed up. Okay, let's switch to basketball. So if you are a captain on the basketball team, you got it. And you need a basketball player, who are you going to pick, me or him? See, now you're going back and forth. That's good. That's what I'm talking about. It depends on the position. If you need a center, you're going with my man right here. But if you need a shooting guard or a point guard, you understand what I'm saying? Then you're going right here. Give my man a hand. Huh? You're going to block it? That's for you. He said, I'm going to block it. I'm going to shoot a high arc. So do you see the danger, you got it, in comparing ourselves to one another? Because we all have different positions in life. And God has called us to different things, so you can't be tripping because this person's doing this and this person's doing that and you're not doing what they're doing. You got to know that God put something special on the inside of you and that you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. And I might not can't do that and I might not can't do that, but if you need anybody to ever do this over here, I be's the man. See, Lorenzo mad because last time we played, it was lights out. Actually, he was trying to manhandle me. I almost texted Myra and said, you need to talk to your husband. He need to rededicate his life to Jesus. Play something soft. I got to go. Number six is the last one. Or did I give you number five? Number five. Oh, this is easy. Offense. Offense is the only fence that's off because it fences you in. Yeah, offense is the only fence that's off because it fences you in. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Offense is a choice. You have to choose to be offended. Like, let's just say the example I was just making with the brother. Let's just say you, no matter what position, you picked him over me. Well, I have to choose either to be offended or not to be offended. But that's a choice. So that's not your fault. That's not his fault. That's on me. Does that make sense? All right. So that's number five. And then number six, gossip. Never trust a gossip. You want to know why? Proverbs 11:13 tells us why. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays confidence, so avoid anyone who does what? Talks too much. Woo! if they will gossip to you about you to someone else. I'm sorry, if they will gossip to you about someone else, then guess what? They will gossip to someone else about you. You got it? I can give you these last ones. I love when Lady and LaConte and I, we get to, meet with members from time to time and have just good encounters and stuff. And it's so refreshing when you meet with somebody and you're there for an hour or whatever, and it was just a great, fun conversation. And there might be some serious parts, some spiritual parts, just where we might be encouraging them in faith, but it wasn't like, they at the table with daddy and they're going to tell daddy everything that's going on with the children. And I have an issue with that. Let me tell you why. Because all of us have issues. I got issues. You got issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. So I don't need to run and tell Pat something that I heard that happened with somebody else. Because that didn't do anybody any good. And then people spiritually, I wanted to tell Pastor Pat so he could pray. No, you pray. He got a whole list of people to pray for, you understand? No, but what I'm saying is our intent is wrong. Make sense? Okay, praise the Lord. All right, so I'm going to give you these last six things because we said things that will hinder long-term success, right? And then these last six things are things that will cause, these are things that you have to do in order to keep your long-term success. All right, number one, let's put it up on the screen. Pursue the presence of God. Pursue the presence of God. David said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. So pursue the presence of God. I want to be in his presence. I want to do it his way so I can get his results. All right, put number two up on the screen. Protect your passion. Protect your passion. Your heart, your motives, your personality, everything. You got it? But the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I think it's the NLT that says, for everything flows out of it. So you have to protect what goes in, and you have to protect what comes out. Pursue the presence of God. Protect your passion. What's number three? Put people above projects. Why? Because people are more important than anything. So I'm hanging. We're doing a lot of work at our house right now, repainting floors and just a whole lot of work. You got it? And so I've been busier than I ever have been when it comes to the house and in the past few weeks and those kind of things. So I might be doing this or doing that or trying to figure out this or that, but that doesn't mean that I don't have time if Jay or Hannah walk in the room. So I might have to put down what I'm doing to attend to them to make sure that their need is met, and then I can go back to doing what I need to do. And I need to learn how to do that with my children, with my marriage, with you guys, with anybody that I come into contact with, because people are always here and projects are always here. Make sense? Yeah, people are your most important asset. If you are a business owner, you need to understand people are your most important asset. If you are a manager, you have to understand people are your most important asset. If you're just a regular person, you got to understand people are your most important asset in life. All right. Pursue the presence of God. Protect your passion. Put people above projects. Number four. Here's a good one. What's this one, class? Prepare for promotion. How do you prepare for promotion? What are the steps to prepare for promotion? There's really only one real step to prepare for promotion. We know that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and do this and do that. But the way that you prepare for promotion is this. Just be faithful. That's the key. Just be faithful. It is a faithful man that, or woman as the case may be, that abounds with blessings. So just be faithful. Everybody say, just be faithful. That's easy. All right. Number five. What does it say? Play with the team. I want to do it my way. Well, if you want to go fast, you go by yourself. But if you want to go far, you go together. So play with the team, especially if you're on a job, you got it, and you're not the boss, and the boss has put a team together, you can't have a bad attitude. You got to play with the team that the boss assembled. Isn't that right? Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. And then
Number six. What's number six, class? Be faithful to your assignment. Okay. There are a lot of assignments, and I know we have individual ones, but let me give you the one that, and that's for your individual one, but for number six, I just want to remind you, you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're making a difference in someone's life, when you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. Be faithful to always making a difference. Be faithful to always impacting somebody's life. Be faithful that every time someone's name, someone's face or name comes up in your mind or your heart to pray for them right then. It only takes just a few. I do that every time you ask, lady, she's like, well, who are you talking to? No, I was just praying real quick. Why? Because I got a text or I got an email or somebody's name came and I don't need to wait till tomorrow morning for prayer time. Right now, Father, I just thank you for blessing them right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that because of the stripes of Jesus, they are already healed. So we thank you that healing virtue flows from their body, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And so, Father, we just thank you for total recovery in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I move about my day. What am I doing? I'm being faithful to my assignment because every person in this room, we are all assigned to making a difference, to impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. Well, that's all I got for you. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.